And welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 121. And once again, Skype and the new recorders mangled the podcast. Lost it all. So, instead of listening to a reading of Suicide Squad number 1 from 1987, which is what we thought we recorded, bringing out when we call Long Box Classics number 1, which would be a re-representation of our first episode from over 2 years ago. Hope you enjoy. Listening to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. I am Chris Mosby.
And I'm Caleb Gerard.
This is episode 1, the new DC 52. Tonight we're going to be talking about an initiative that DC Comics is coming up with at the end of August. They're going to relaunch all their titles pardon me. That's a thunderstorm warning.
Okay.
Everyone, just so you know. Okay, everything's fine. Anyway, they're gonna do all their restarting all their titles, coming up with new ones with number one issues. And first off, they're gonna be 52 issues. And people that have been reading comics for a while kind of get the significance of that. That's something we can go on into later on. But this is a very big initiative. They're also going to be doing day and date, which means that when an issue comes out, it is also going to be available digitally at the same time on Comixology. Yeah, it's a huge deal. No, some companies have been doing that somewhat, but not everything like this. Now, they'll be the same price. We'll get into that more. First off, I'll just read the actual press announcement so you can get their wording of it.
And real quick, the just for those who, you know, some of you who do read comics and are looking to maybe shift over to the superhero stuff, this is just the superhero line at DC. The Vertigo stuff, mm-hmm. Ain't Getting Touched. The kids stuff, not getting touched either. This is just... this is the spandex wearers that are getting affected by this. So,
but
that's what we're here for.
One thing that they are going to be doing, though, is they're going to have different lines, too. They're going to have Westerns. They're going to have War, a little bit of horror stuff. So it's not just going to be specifically superheroes,
true.
But we're going to get into that. We plan on, and it's probably going to take us more than one episode, we're going to go through all the titles and talk about what they're about, time permitting. I don't know how many we'll get through, but let's listen to that press release. And this was put out on Tuesday, May 31st, 2011. This year, changes in the air at DC Comics. On Wednesday, August 31st, DC Comics will launch a historic renumbering of the entire DC Universe line of comic books with 52 first issues, including the release of Justice League by New York Times bestselling writer and DC Entertainment Chief Creative Officer Jeff Johns and bestselling artist and DC Comics co-publisher Jim Lee. The publication of Justice League Issue 1 will launch day and date digital publishing for all these ongoing titles, making DC Comics the first of the two major American publishers to release all of its superhero comic book titles digitally the same day as in print. DC Comics will only publish 2 comic books on August 31st. The final issue of this summer's comic book miniseries, Flashpoint, and the first issue of Justice League by Johns and Lee. two of the most distinguished and popular contemporary comic book creators who will collaborate, who will be collaborating for the first time. Together, they will offer a contemporary take on the origin of the comic book industry's premier superhero team. In the hours, days, and weeks to come, we'll have more about the other titles. Tomorrow, we'll hear from co-publishers Dan Didio and Jim Lee about this momentous occasion. Keep checking the source for – that's the DC's blog as a source. This year, we make history with us. Now
did you want to go through these? Because they just did a they printed in the latest issues this week a listing by release date. And then they've also, obviously, there's, as you said, there's also the breakdown by lines, the types.
That's right. I don't have that sitting here, so if you got it, that will work.
Okay.
But the one thing I'll go over, like I said, Justice League number one will be the first one of the line. Now, the Flashpoint number five is going to be important, and they announced in the media and in the at Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con recently, that the end of Flashpoint number 5, which is the other comic book coming out that day, there'll be a map of exactly how and what things have changed to make the transition from the Flashpoint universe, which is kind of a shakeup in time, causes an alternate universe, and how it's going to move into the new DC universe. So that's,
I didn't know about that.
Yes.
That sounds cool.
So, yeah. You'll definitely be good to get that. Luckily, I've already got that on – had that on my buy list, so I've been getting that series. That'll be a really big issue. It's going to map and explain. I'm not exactly sure how, but that's what they said recently. So, and then you can pick up the Justice League number one and get right into it.
And from what I've been reading, and I like I said last time, I'm really trying to avoid the news or the media or whatever. But from what I've been reading on, say, Facebook and message boards, the real driver behind this is a lot of these the publisher of DC, Dan Didio and Jim Lee and Jeff Johns, a lot of the high muckety mucks, as well as Warner Brothers themselves, felt that the problem with getting new readers – into comic books is that the numbering on these things mm-hmm. just seems so daunting. Like the Action Comic Books was about to reach 900 or some ridiculously high number.
Yeah, it's pretty high.
And it just, and for somebody to walk into a store and say, "Oh my God, I'm going to pick up something in the hundreds," that's intimidating. But when they say, "Oh, I can pick it up starting from number one," that is an easier sell. And then, of course, this digital thing is going to be huge. Right? All these people who don't normally have access to a comic book store
mm-hmm.
will now have access to a comic book store, at least for the DC books at this point.
That's correct.
So, wow.
Yeah, it is big. Let's see. A little bit of background, just kind of, you know, to ease into what how this is going to work. Action Comics number one, which is going to be Superman and Justice League are both going to be start out with the first five or six issues going to be 5 years in the past. Nobody knows what a superhero is. They've never appeared before, and it's going to talk about, you know, how that comes about, especially in Justice League. So that's definitely, if you're interested in any of those, at least the first issue of that or the first couple issues of that would be something to pick up. So let's see. How do you want to start? You want to start by the order they come out, or just go through?
Yeah, let's do that. I think that's probably easiest because again, if we don't get through all of these tonight, given that there's 52 of them, if we get through mm-hmm. half of them, that would be some kind of miracle. Given we've already killed 11 minutes here.
Okay, that sounds good.
Obviously, you know, as Chris said, August 31st is when this all kicks off, and you know, he said it starts with Flashpoint number 5. Which is the transition from the old DC universe, so to speak, through this Flashpoint, which is an alternate universe, to this brand spanking new DC, which is going to lead into Justice League number one. Not Justice League of America, not Justice League International, but Justice League number one. By architect himself, Jeff Johns is writing it, along with, he's a co-publisher, I think, Jim Lee.
Yeah, he's a co-publisher.
He's going to be drawing it.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be drawing it. And we'll for those who follow this stuff at all, we all have our fingers crossed that we will get an issue 2, 3, and 4 from Jim Lee. He's not known, but apparently they've already banked a few issues from him. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and one other thing about Justice League number one, there's going to be a deluxe edition for $1 more. The regular price of it is $3.99, but the $4.99 version, you'll have a code that you can get the digital version of it off of Comixology as well. So I believe I ordered one of those plus a regular issue. But yeah, they'll have those. And oh, wow, one other thing real quick about that. They're going to have a midnight release date. For this, kind of like you see big albums and like you might a Harry Potter book and comic shops that participate, they're going to be open and be able to sell this right at midnight. In fact, my local shop, and I need to finalize it, I already talked to them, talked about doing a remote, recording during that and, just kind of see how many people come in and show up and try to do, a little interview with them and how excited they are and all that kind of stuff. So it should be interesting.
That would be very interesting. And one thing you did note, you said that the cover price on this is $3.99. Again, uh-huh. that's been something that the publishers have been scared about is the pricing. Mm-hmm. So please note, this is only – this $3.99 that Chris mentioned – only on this first issue of this comic, and I think one other of these New 52. But normally, the cover price is $2.99.
Yeah, they had an initiative earlier on trying to keep that cheap. So yep. that's what they're going to do. Let me verify that on the next issue here. I think it doesn't actually say.
But, so yeah. Then, So again, $3.99 sounds like a lot, and it kind of is. And that's a complaint that Chris and I have had probably for about the same length of time as the pricing, but
yeah, absolutely,
their previous initiative, not just this push for these new number ones, was drag the price down. So they mm-hmm. they went down to $3 or $2.99 mm-hmm. an issue, and also note that the digital copies after a month will be dropping, or is it a week? Is it a week or a month?
I'm pretty sure it's a week, but I'm not 100% sure. I was just trying to look that up.
So they're going to drop another dollar. So mm-hmm. initially, on the day of date, they're going to be the same price as the physical book, but they will drop a dollar subsequently. Mm-hmm. So the digital copies will be more in line with it with a reasonable price.
Right.
So I'll tell you, Chris, of all the books that are coming out, this is easily in my top five most anticipated of the books. I've been reading Justice League was one of my earliest titles. Mm-hmm. And for those on the outside, this will have Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, The Flash, Green Lantern, Aquaman, and Cyborg, who is not normally associated with Justice League, but he is a half man, half robot guy introduced back in the Titans, which Chris and I talked about last week.
Yeah, back in the 80s.
Back in the 80s. Whew, yeah, I'm old. and these are going to be the seven core members, but there's going to be a total, I think, of 15 members when all is said and done.
Which, that's correct.
So this is just a start, but those seven core characters mm-hmm. Should appeal. One of them should appeal to at least somebody out there at, And this is a good way. And as I understand it, they're also going to tie tightly into – most of these characters have their own books as well.
Yes.
Which we'll talk about eventually. Mm-hmm. So they will all tie tightly into that. A good opportunity to cross over, maybe read two titles if you want, yep. about your favorite character.
Right.
So I think Cyborg's the only one who's not having his own book initially.
But yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. My guess is if this takes off as popular as it sounds to be, then that'll be not too far down the road.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right, go ahead. What's next?
So the following week, which is release date of September 7th, mm-hmm. we're gonna do this chronologically and I guess alphabetically is easiest.
Yeah.
The other book that Chris talked about, Action Comic Books number 1, significant in so many ways in that Action Comic Books number 1, the original one, the first true superhero comic, 1938. Thank you. 38. Siegel and Shuster introduced Superman to the world. And this is one of the few comic books, other than detective comic books, that has never been renumbered over the years. And all of a sudden, we're back to number one. Grant Morrison, a huge Superman fan as a writer, will be writing this. I lost my page here. And the person drawing it is, drumroll please,
Rags Morales.
Rags Morales, who's probably not familiar to some of you, but
he is really good. Very good. He's one of my favorites. I'm really excited about that.
He's a great superhero artist. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. Two people who love comics are going to be working on Superman, who is, like I said, the first superhero comic book. Not the first superhero, but first superhero comic book. So if you're looking to get on the ground floor, mm-hmm. and as Chris said, this will be set 5 years, 5 years in the past. So this is kind of also showing how superheroes get reintroduced to the world.
Right. And also kind of to tell, Superman's probably going to be one of the characters that's going to be changed the most from what most people say. Now, depending on when you read Superman, you might know or not know that, I don't know, maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, something like that, Clark Kent and Lois Lane got married. Well, they're going to undo that and kind of bring that – Lois and Clark dynamic that, most people are probably more familiar with. Read in an article and listened on the DC podcast, he's going to be, more for the little guy and defender of truth and all that kind of stuff. So I won't get into too much, so you'd be surprised, but he's going to be a little bit different than probably what you're used to. And going to be I'm actually looking forward to it. One of the reasons I like this whole initiative is I've been reading DC so long that I feel like I've read everything, so new stories, hopefully good. I'm thinking they are going to be, since they're so passionate about it. But yeah, this is definitely the one to catch if you're going to read any of these, I think, because it'll get a little bit of background of this new DC universe.
And as I said, Morrison is a huge Superman fan. He wrote a multi-award-winning title called All-Star Superman, which was recently made into a cartoon, actually. So a good opportunity to get on the ground floor. And again, from a couple guys who are huge Superman fans writing it. They're not just doing it for the paycheck. They're doing it for the love of the character.
Yeah.
So the next title, I'm on the fence, I admit it. Is Animal Man.
Yes.
Which coincidentally does have a tie to Grant Morrison, who is the one who made the character popular again back in the, probably, what was it, the 90s?
I would think so.
Maybe late 80s. It was probably late 80s, early 90s. Made him, he's a gentleman he can acquire the abilities of animals. Mm-hmm. And he became an animal rights activist. Jeff Lemire is going to be writing this take on him.
Jeff Lemire, I don't know if people haven't heard it. He's written a lot of creator-owned stuff that's been critically acclaimed, like the Essex County Trilogy. It just depends on how you – most of his stuff I read is pretty good, but like Caleb, I'm not really sure about the Animal Man in the title, but anyway, go ahead. I interrupted you.
No, it's okay. No, I was just going to say, I mean, the one thing that has me intrigued is Jeff Lemire does write really good character stuff, and that the character, the main guy in Animal Man, he's a family man. I mean, that's one thing he has different than most other superheroes. He has a wife, he has kids, so there's a lot of home stuff as well as the superhero stuff. So Jeff Lemire's good at that, but again, I'm taking a wait and see stance on this one, and I luckily DC apparently has a lot of titles in the hopper in case certain titles don't last.
Uh-huh.
I'm hoping I have hope for this, but not enough that I'm putting my money into it just yet.
You can read the descriptions, and I'll have another link in the show notes so you can see that. And DC blog has been showing some pages, from it, and you know, I'm pretty sure this is in what they call their dark family of books. I would think this is even possibly in the horror genre instead of superhero. That's just my take on it. Yeah, it says, here's a quote from Bob Harris, the editor. Jeff Travell, which is the artist, he was on the Immortal Iron Fist a while back from Marvel. But anyway, his quote says, they've blended together elements of superhero stories and horror stories to create exactly the type of narratives we envisioned when we came up with The Dark, which is their horror type books. So anyway.
No, and you're right. It is part of the dark line. Meaning it's more of the mystical based stuff and the, as opposed to just the straight superhero sci-fi type stuff that, some of you may be anticipating.
Yeah.
Again, not to say anything wrong with that.
Nope. Not, not my particular, cup of tea, but some people really like that. So anyway, go ahead.
The dark horse choice for me from that same week, a week of September 7th, Batgirl, number one. I surprised myself by pre-ordering this, but I couldn't normally care less about a character named Batgirl. Always had, you know, a fondness for the Yvonne Craig, who played her in the Batman sitcom, the Batman live-action show back in the 60s. But
in some cases, I'd call it a sitcom.
Okay.
But anyway, go ahead.
But the selling points here for me, selling point, major one, is the writer, a woman by the name of Gail Simone.
Yes, absolutely.
She has a real passion for the main character, Batgirl, and the woman inside the costume, Barbara Gordon. This is one of Gail Simone's favorite characters of all time. So again, just like with Grant Morrison over on Superman, you have a creator who is in love with the character that they're going to be writing.
And has written it in, one of the titles that she wrote had this character in it, just shown in a different way, Birds of Prey. She's been writing that character for quite a while, so, I mean, she knows the character, and it's going to be interesting to see in the new direction that they're going to be taking it. I don't know, kind of the controversy with it, the Barbara Gordon character was put in a wheelchair, called Oracle for a while, so they're going to have her, go through physical therapy and get back into the superhero game. So it's going to be interesting to see what she does with it.
Yeah, I'm curious to see. I mean, because again, that was Gail Simone again has stated unequivocally that, you know, she, you know, wants to be true to the character. As people have come to like her over the last few years, especially as she's been written by Gail herself. But she also knew that it was time to try a new direction, or an old direction as the case may be, since this character was the original Batgirl as well, back in the day before having her spine severed and being put in a wheelchair. So, again, a dark horse. I surprised myself when I put it on my list, and I didn't hesitate either. It's not like I thought, hey,
I kind of agree with you. You know, the Batgirls that they've had over in the past, Cassandra Cain was my favorite, because she was actually picked by Barbara Gordon. But you know, that's a whole nother story. but all I had to know is that Gail Simone was writing it, and I'm on it. The last issue of her, one of my favorite series, Secret Six, came out recently. I haven't got a chance to read it yet, but I mean, if she writes something like this, I'm on it. So, and she's got another title that she's writing with another guy. We'll get into that either. I don't know if we'll get to it this episode or not, but anyway,
we'll see.
Yep.
So the next title, and again, we're going alphabetically, so there's no favoritism shown here at all, and especially on this one, because I am not going to get this one for many reasons, but it's Batwing, number one, written by Judd Winnick, who is a huge Bat fan. He loves his Batman, his Robin, his Nightwing, and so on and so forth. This is going to be taking the Bat Man idea and shifting it over to Africa. with a character over there, which they apparently have introduced recently as part of the Batman Incorporated.
That's correct. Line that
but I have zero interest in this, and B, Jen Winnick rarely does anything for me. You may disagree, but
he's been hit or miss. The Brightest Day, Justice League. What was the name of that? Generation Lost. That was it. That went along with the Brightest Day stuff was an awesome book. There's several of his stuff that he's written. He did Green Lantern for a while, and he's the one who created the Red Hood character, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. And I'm kind of hit and miss with him, but I'm a big fan of the whole Batman Incorporated thing, which, you know, we'll get into more about that later on. Because that's very complicated in the whole podcast in and of itself. But this is one of the things that they didn't change that much. It's a carryover from the quote unquote previous universe. And I probably will pick it up on a monthly basis, at least for the first couple. I mean, I am getting every single number one, at least anyway.
Oh.
DCBS had a really good deal and I couldn't pass it up. So, 50% off, I think, for all of them. But anyway, I probably will be getting this on a monthly basis, at least like I said at first. I listened to his podcast, him and one of the DC podcasts, and he seems pretty, hyped about it. We'll at least see what we got there. So,
I'll keep it low on my radar.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he's really got to wow me. You're right. His Justice League stuff he did there was good.
Mm-hmm.
I think he got his direction from the previous writer.
That's right.
I think he ran with what was given to him,
mm-hmm.
and he got lucky to be handed such a good plot and such a good plot device.
He also had a really good run on the Green Arrow before the last relaunch of it. It was really good stuff. I'm trying to see. I can see the.
Well, Grant, it could only be better than this last relaunch.
Yeah, I was gonna quit it until they found out they were gonna cancel it, and I said, I might as well just keep getting it until it's done because I'd be a completist and all. So but you're right. Anyway, we'll get into that next. But go ahead.
Yeah, J.T. Crawl. Okay, the next one, again, we're going alphabetical, so no mm-hmm. favoritism, is Detective Comics number one. Again,
yep.
Very significant, just like the Action Comics number mm-hmm. one. A couple things to note here. One, Detective Comics is actually where DC got its name, because
mm-hmm.
it was when they first became a publisher of sorts. They were called Detective Comics, shortened eventually down just to DC. This is the first time this comic's ever been renumbered. And it's real significant. A side note here for those out there who aren't into comics, haven't read them ever, frequently comic books relaunch with new number ones. It's a huge selling point. Obviously, if you're going to be picking these up, you already know you've been sold because of a new number one. So it's frequently done. Detective Comics has never been renumbered to number one. So big deal here.
Mm-hmm.
The creator on it, Tony S. Daniel, is writing it and drawing it, which is significant. You don't see that a lot in mainstream comics.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in a lot of independent comics, creator-owned comics, you'll see the same writer-artist, but this is a big deal for a mainstream book and a Batman, which,
mm-hmm.
again, is their number one most visible character.
Absolutely.
Bar none. I mean, a second would be Superman, but money-wise... Not even close.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And Tony Daniel is a decent artist. His writing that he's done on Batman recently has actually impressed me
mm-hmm.
Enough that I pre-ordered this.
Yes, yeah. A lot of people that read comics a lot, they have a problem with his writing. I don't. He's not the best writer I've ever read, but he is. He's good. And, he puts out a good book, and with the art, it's to match. I actually like his art a little bit better than his writing, but still, he's going to be good on this, I think.
And reading the solicit, this is actually interesting. I did not know this.
Mm-hmm.
This will make the first time that Batman has been in the first issue. He was not in the first issue of Detective Comics. He came in number 27.
That's correct. Right. Mm-hmm.
So there were 26 issues of Detective Comics back in the, the late 30s, 37, 38, somewhere in that period.
Yeah, Batman's Detective 27 was in 1939.
There you go. So a big deal again with the renumbering. Another significant thing about this is that for the past year or so, Bruce Wayne, the more well-known guy under the Batman cowl, mm-hmm. has not actually been Batman, and he is now returning to being Batman in this full-time with this book.
Well,
and according to the cover – go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's just a little off. He was gone for a while, and Dick Grayson was Batman, but then he came back, and he's the one started Batman Incorporated. And basically, Dick Grayson was the Batman in Gotham, and he was a global Batman and going around recruiting all these other Batmen of other nations. So that's how the Batman Incorporated thing comes in. But yeah, so there was two Batman, but he's going to be the only Batman starting with this new universe. So
and me showing my somewhat lack of bat knowledge.
Well, as we discussed last issue, Batman's kind of that's in my blood. So I've been reading Batman consistently for probably at least 15, if not 20 years. So I've been getting all of that stuff mostly, so that's okay.
Well, this should be this will I would not be surprised if this is not a top five seller for DC in this initiative.
I'm going to call it now. I see second printing on this.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be. I mean, honestly, DC. That's something else some people should know. DC is not the number one publisher out there.
Which is one of the. They've been, in fact, they've been the number two publisher every year since 2002, which is one of the reasons why this is coming up, why they're doing this. They want to get back on top. So.
Well, we keep our fingers crossed. And with that, we move on to, again, a title that we've sort of mentioned up to this point, which is Green Arrow, also coming out the week of September 7th. This is written by a hit-and-miss writer for me, Scott Lobdell, drawn by Keith Rocafort, who I have no idea – or Kenneth, excuse me, Kenneth Rocafort.
Oh, are you talking about Green Arrow?
I am talking about the wrong book here.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry. I went to the wrong book.
Yeah.
I'm looking at hold on. Ah, here we go. J.T. Krull is writing it, so I'm already not ordering it. I'm already not going to order this book.
Mm-hmm.
However, the artist is Dan Jurgens. So it was
inking by George Perez.
At least on the first issue, right?
Yeah.
This was one of those ones that I in fact was torn on.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Jurgens is a favorite of mine. I'm a big. I really do like his art.
Me too.
But God help me that J.T. Krull is. I don't know how this person keeps getting work.
I agree with you. I've been picking up the Titans sporadically since he came on, since they brought some of the original characters back. Sort of. And his Green Arrow run. I love Green Arrow. I have a full collection of the Mike Grell run that was out. I picked up, finally got the rest of those. And one of the things that kind of bugs me is to try to make it more recognizable, they've changed the costume to make it look almost exactly like the Green Arrow character in the Smallville TV series, which I can kind of understand that. Why they would do that. But yeah, I'm kind of with you. Like I said, I'm getting all the first number ones, but whether I keep this or not, I'm not really sure. Like I said earlier, I was going to drop the previous series, so I probably won't be getting this one. But
it's an interesting character. I mean, for those who don't know, this character, Green Arrow, was originally just basically a Batman knockoff, except his shtick was he shot arrows. He had trick arrows, sort of like Batman's utility belt. He had arrows that did a lot of that stuff. He even had a kid sidekick and all that stuff. He was a billionaire. At some point, he was
They brought that that part back. He's a billionaire again.
Well, there you go. And I saw that with Queen Industries recently. Mm-hmm. And At some point he was made interesting and individualized into being not rich and just going out there and being a street guy, and then again reinvented a third or fourth time by Mike Grell, a personal favorite, it sounds like, of both Chris and I.
Yep.
Again, brought even more street, got rid of the trick arrows. All his arrows were pointy and painful.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like – and recently they've reintroduced the trick arrows because that was popular and it was cute and stuff. And,
yeah. They're going to be – I listened to him talk on one of the DC panels San Diego, and they're going to be big on the trick arrows again. Probably not as silly as some of them were, but they are going to be big on that again.
Well, it says a lot when I find the Smallville version of this character more interesting than the comic book version of this character, because I was a sporadic watcher of Smallville, and usually when he was the focus character would I watch it, because I enjoyed it as that. So, again, for Smallville watchers, this is one of the things we talked about last week. As a lot of people may have caught some of these characters or these books from other, from other sources, and more people watch Smallville than bought Green Arrow.
Absolutely.
So if you know Oliver Queen from the Smallville TV show, this is basically him.
Yep.
Green Arrow number one, again, week of September 7th. Next is a book that I'm going to look at, and I may actually buy a shelf copy of.
Mm-hmm.
More out of the nostalgic point of view, which is Hawk and Dove number one. Let me pull this up. Here we go. Sterling Gates is writing it, which is a good selling point. He's a very good superhero writer.
Yep.
But the selling point they're using on this one is a young man by the name of Rob Liefeld is going to be drawing this book.
Yeah.
This is Rob Liefeld worked on the characters Hawk and Dove. At that time, it was a brother or two brothers.
Yeah.
And then it became a one of the brothers, Hawk, teamed up with a young lady who got the same powers as the original Dove.
After
they're the avatars of war and peace.
Yeah.
The original brother died of the Dove character. Rob Liefeld worked with the Kiesels, I think.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that's unimportant. But Rob Liefeld, this is where he got his start in mainstream comics. Was on a miniseries called Hawk and Dove. And real quick side story, I actually met him the day after he got the gig.
Oh,
so
cool.
That was and he was a real he lived up to his reputation at the time. Let me just leave it at that.
Yeah, Chicago 1996. I actually got his autograph on Youngblood number one. So that's pretty cool. Waited in line for like 2.5 hours, but
oh, good lord!
Yeah, and to be honest, he doesn't have the best reputation of being keeping a book going. So this is kind of a wait and see if he's going to actually stick with it. Anyway, won't go into trashing too much, but
nope, because this a nostalgic level alone. Mm-hmm. My guess is this book is actually going to sell pretty good initially.
Yeah.
Again, there's a lot of Liefeld haters out there. I don't count myself among them, by the way. Not as an artist.
I've softened on that over the years, but yeah.
He will. I think that there will be, at least initially, an uptick in sales on this book, and I don't think it's going to drop too much if the writing from Sterling Gates is as strong as Sterling Gates' other stuff has been.
Yeah, and I'm kind of torn on this one because those characters were in Birds of Prey, and I kind of got to like him from that and the Brightest Day stuff that they did before. So I don't know if I'll get this one or not. After the first issue, but anyway.
No, and I agree. And again, that's why I'm going to check out I may get a shelf copy of this of that one. I'm going to look at it. I'm going to read a couple pages, maybe, or read a couple dialogue boxes or bubbles, and see if it appeals writing wise. The art.
Yep.
Well, I'll know from the get go whether it's going to work for me or not.
Yep.
So next is the next title in the Justice League line, which is Justice League International number one, written by Dan Jurgens, who was the artist on the Green Arrow, which we talked about a couple minutes ago,
yep.
art by Aaron Lopresti. I should know who that is, but I don't.
I don't either.
This title, Justice League International, has a pedigree. This was a title that was that brought the Justice League back to significance back in the 80s with a group of gentlemen who realized that you don't have to take the stuff too seriously.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And didn't.
No.
Eventually I think they jumped the shark with that, but that's
That I never did care for that myself, the Bahaha stuff.
Yeah.
But that's just me. So.
Yeah, it's like hearing the same joke, you know, the first and second and fifth time maybe it's funny, but the 20th time not quite as funny. It's got a good group of characters led by, of all characters, Booster Gold, who is actually going to be – and Batman's going to be playing second fiddle to him, and at least as it's presented.
The United Nations is bringing these people together, and they're from different countries, and they made him the leader. So.
Yeah. And it'll have – it has a Green Lantern in it. It has some legacy characters from the old Justice League Internationals with Fire and Ice and – Rocket Red in there, who again were all reintroduced in that Justice League series that that Chris and I were talking about a little while ago with what's his name was writing?
Winnick.
Winnick, thank you. Jed Winnick was writing.
Yeah, that was an awesome series. It really was.
It was. It blended what we all liked, I think, back when Justice League International first came out, which was it was a serious superhero stuff. But a little tongue-in-cheek, going, hey, you know what? These guys, these are people. They have problems. They say stupid things. They sometimes say smart things.
Mm-hmm.
They're not all, you know, square-jawed ass-kickers.
Yeah.
So it should be interesting. I'm seeing a lack of a couple faces there that I would like to have seen if they're going to go with the legacy idea. But given that they're really going to focus on the international point – can't get more international than this. You've got an African character. You've got a Eastern European, South American.
Yep.
You got a Nordic character in there, a couple Americans.
And August General in Iron, he's Chinese.
Oh, there you go. Thank you. That's I was trying to figure out who that was. So from the Great Ten.
Mm-hmm. That was a good limited series too, by the way. But anyway.
I loved it.
I'm trying not to bring too much of the old stuff into this conversation because it's just going to confuse people, but that's all I have to go by. But that's where that character is anyway. He's one of the lead Chinese superheroes. So anyway.
So this is, again, part of the Justice League line. It's a team book, so you're going to get a lot of characters in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the other stuff we've talked about up to this point has been solo characters. This is, you know – get it, you know, not most of these characters will not be recognizable to the man on the street, though you're going to see a Batman in there, you're going to see a Green Lantern in there. So, you know, you got two at least recognizable symbols to latch on to. Again, I think they're going for some nostalgia here, but that's okay.
Yeah.
If it works. Pre-ordered. It's on my list.
I did too. I saw Dan Jurgens was writing it. I definitely had to get that. Now, I think I heard that this might not be a static line. You might see Batman or some of the other ones go in and out, but I'm not 100% on that, so I'll just keep that in mind.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Dan Jurgens writing it anyway, so that's good.
Yeah, and he loves the superhero stuff, and he's one of these guys. He's one of these guys who's been around for frickin' ever.
I mean,
he has been around since, you know. My God, it's got to be since the early 80s.
Yeah. I fell in love with his art during that whole Death of Superman thing in the 90s.
Some of you who dropped out of comics and, at some point may remember.
Yes.
That's right. He killed Superman.
Yes, he did.
So,
that's the big 90s bust started during that time, too. But anyway.
So the next book is part of one of the sublines. This is now it's being titled just Men of War. Originally it was going to be Sergeant Rock in the Men of War, but this is just going to be a war comic focusing. DC has a lot of characters that that they had set fighting during World War II, and one of them obviously Sergeant Rock and his Easy Company, mm-hmm. His group of soldiers. There's other characters that will be popping in, the Haunted Tank, the Losers, personal favorite of mine.
Oh, yeah, that's good stuff.
I'm trying to think who else. Probably Enemy Ace will appear, who's actually a bad guy from World War I, but still a very cool character. But this...
this guy, if I'm not mistaken, is the grandson of Sergeant Rock. So it should be, and these aren't, they're not strictly a military team, that works for our government. They're going to be ex-military turned contractors. So it should be interesting, kind of things that they get into. So.
Well, I hope they focus on the fact that the military, that was always an appeal to me mm-hmm. from the books that were published. I don't know when they stopped publishing them, but Joe Kubert, art and writing on those. I mean, really, if they lose that focus, this is going to not be on my buy list for more than two issues. It's on my buy list now.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not a big military guy. I tend to float the other direction, actually. Mm-hmm. But, it is.
I just like the idea of it. They're branching out to other stuff, and I don't even really right off the top of my head recognize the writer or the artist. So this should be something fresh. Haven't been exposed to before, so should be interesting.
Fingers crossed. Mm-hmm. So the next one, OMAC number one. this was an easy sell for me, and it was not based on the title OMAC, which used to stand for One Man Army Corps. Mm-hmm. I may still, who knows? They may revisit that.
It's in the solicitation down there at the bottom. It says One Machine Army Corps.
Alrighty. But what the selling point is it's written by the head honcho at DC Comics, Dan Didio, who we mentioned earlier, but also by Keith Giffen, who mm-hmm. anybody who's a Legion fan, which Chris and I both are,
yes,
a very recognizable name to that. Perhaps you were a fan of the Justice League International, again, a name mm-hmm. recognizable from that. More recently from Doom Patrol, as well as Blue Beetle, the current Blue Beetle that a lot of kids have been exposed to recently. Co-created Jaime Reyes. He was Blue Beetle. And, the list could go on and on, but he is going to be co-writing it and doing the art.
Hold on, got static again. Hold on.
You're about the same time, too. Okay.
Yeah, it must be some internet thing. Hold on. You don't hear any static?
I don't.
Okay.
I'm going to drop it and dial back.
Yeah. Yeah, one second.
Hey.
Hello?
All right. Better?
All right. Well, yeah, hold on. Okay, it's recording. All right, we're back.
We're back. Sorry about that. So, written OMAC, number one, written by Dan Didio and Keith Giffen, with art by Keith Giffen. These guys recently worked together on Outsiders. Again, a title long now gone for this relaunch of DC. But actually made a group of 80s characters interesting. So the goal here, they're going to take a guy, probably Buddy Blank, who was initially the mm-hmm. – it was always OMAC
actually,
back in the – Jack
the guy,
Kirby.
The guy says the guy's name is Kevin Koe, K-H-O. That's what it says now.
Right. So they're the diversity that DC has been pushing.
Before you say any more, I'm just going to speak out about Dan Didio. When this first was shown, he was only listed as a writer, and I would not – you couldn't give this comic to me. I have a large issue with his writing skills and lack thereof. But the fact that Keith Giffen is doing the art and now he's listed as a co-writer – and the fact that Keith Giffen and it's also Scott Koblish, which is a friend of Legion podcast, and I know he's a really cool guy. I am going to get this, and because the art is just awesome, there's no doubt about it. It looks like Jack Kirby. If any comic fans out there you know who I'm talking about. He's one of the creators of the Marvel Universe, but
and he also created OMAC.
Yeah, he did.
It's his character, so
yeah, it is.
And you and I are going to go ahead and have to agree to disagree on his writing ability.
Yeah.
I actually was skeptical.
Yeah.
But I got really into his Outsiders, and he wrote one of the Wednesday's comics. He wrote
Metal Man.
Metal Man, thank you.
Oh,
which was
God.
Goofy. Which was goofy.
Oh, I hated that. Oh my God, it was terrible. Now I will say this though, as a disclaimer, I read one issue of his run on Outsiders and dropped the book. So whether it got better after that, I don't know and cannot comment on. So one of the reasons why I am giving this a chance, but until I saw it say and Keith Giffen, no, I wasn't going to get it. But now that he's on it too, and I love Giffen's writing, so I'm probably gonna get this.
Well, plus they're bringing back Checkmate, which was
exactly, that's true.
So the a controversial title at to say the least. Definitely, I think of all the ones we've gone over so far, you and I are the most far apart on this one. No question about that.
The main reason is that at one point in it still might be happening in some ways, is that the editorial, what I felt, was a little heavy-handed as far as the writing of these books, to the point where they might as well just put the editor's name on the book instead of the people that were credited for it. And I felt he was one of the biggest abusers of it. So I kind of have a bad taste in my mouth as far as he's concerned. So, but okay. Like I said, I'm willing to give it a shot. So.
All right. Well, again, for those who want, I think this is going to be a political book. I think this is there's a group in here involved in this comic called Checkmate, which is a covert, or at least used to be a covert spy arm, for lack of a better way of putting it, for the United Nations, and they went rogue and out on their own. But they did occasionally use superheroes, but they were mostly just guys with special weapons out fighting for truth, justice, and somebody's way.
Mm-hmm.
And that appealed to me. I'm hoping they revisit this, but if you like the Bourne type stuff with guys who are just a little cut above, but still, you know, shoot them in the head with a bullet, they are going to die. This may appeal. We'll see. I'm hopeful again.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Giffen is a selling point. There's no question about
that. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't even be thinking about it.
All right. Yeah, and unlike Chris, Didio did make it up to me. I'm not a fan of it as on the editorial side. He made some dictatorial directives.
Yeah, you got part of that right.
Yeah, you notice how I stuttered that out.
Yeah.
But when he took over writing, my first opinion was great. He's giving himself a book, but mm-hmm. For me, he earned it.
All
so
right.
We'll see. We shall see. Next is Static Shock number one, a title which, admittedly, I have zero experience with. I've seen the character. He's a he's a kid, which appeals to they're trying to appeal to the kid characters out there, who fights crime, goes to school.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Virgil Hawkins. He was originally created through the Milestone line, which was a more diverse grouping of characters. Put it bluntly, there were a lot of black characters in there.
It's created by a creator named Dwayne McDuffie and several other black artists and writers. He got together with them and made the Milestone imprint, create her own stuff, and they ended up, it came up with a publishing deal with DC, and DC ended up getting that. And it's good to see this book on here. Dwayne McDuffie passed away not too long ago. had some surgery. I forget what it was for, and it had complications. So this is kind of good to see this. Caleb said, I'm not really experienced with this character that much. I know of it. I know it from the Batman Beyond cartoon. And it had its own, the character had his own cartoon that was very popular for quite a while. I never really did get into it. As far as this particular series goes, I probably wouldn't get it. Just not my cup of tea. It looks like it might even be in the future, but I'm not sure yet. But anyway, the main reason I want to get it is Scott McDaniels is doing not only the writing, but the art. And I'm a real big fan of Scott McDaniel. So that's probably why I'm going to be getting it at least for the first couple of issues anyway. So.
And I was going for it for John Rossum, or Rossum, okay. However it's pronounced. He has been impressing me on a book called Zombie that DC gave us a taste of recently. Again, a revisit to one of the milestone characters.
Yeah.
And it just an incredibly funky book. So
yeah,
I heard
that's pretty good too. And it is coming back. I saw it in October's previews.
Yay! I didn't know that. So yay!
Yeah, I wasn't sure about it either until I saw it in the previews. So.
Well, it's one of the quote unquote Young Justice books that DC is going to be putting out. So it's part of that grouping of more youth focused. Now, Hawk and Dove is part of that one, by the way, too.
That's correct.
Again, they're trying to appeal to all different, saying they're basically throwing a lot of stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks. And
yep,
they're trying this with the kids.
Yeah, the shotgun approach, as they call it.
Yep. There's only one way to go with 52 brand new titles. So,
yeah.
But this should be interesting. I mean, again, it's not on my pull.
Mm-hmm.
I will keep an eye on it again because of John Rossum. But now that you've told me Zombie's coming back, I may not have to even look at. I not to discourage anyone.
Yeah.
If you like teen superhero stuff, I would think that this is probably going to be up there.
Yeah,
it's only one of two solo teen characters that's going to be out there.
That's correct. I'm trying to think. And there's some other there's some trades out from it.
From its original run back in the goodness gracious, the 80s.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, and this is actually a really cool character because it just promotes kids. The right kind of values I think kids should have today. And I mean, that's kind of, like I said last episode, my parents and comic books is how I became the person that I am. And this is one of those kind of books that are probably really good for teenagers to read, like 12, 13, around in there. So just from what I'm seeing anyway.
Well, and speaking of diversity, the next title is Stormwatch number one, which is revisiting a Wildstorm book, which was again another imprint at DC, not initially, but it was taken on as an imprint within the old DC line,
which it's created by a co-publisher, Jim Lee,
exactly. These guys are on the surface, if you were just to look at it, it appears sort of Justice League-ish with a lot of superpowered characters, but these guys, they don't play by the rules. They at least in the old version of Stormwatch,
right,
and the Authority, they took more of a do it our way or the highway approach, and we're not necessarily good people either, but this is a title that is definitely on my pull list, written by Paul Cornell, who
yep.
always impresses as a writer.
I have to admit, Action Comics run, I didn't really read because I wasn't interested in reading about Lex Luthor, but he's done some really good stuff. I liked his Knight and Squire. This is the way he described this in the panels, is that these guys work in the background. They don't like to be up and in your face, and they do things, people don't – they want to be secret, and – that's how they operate, and they're not really happy when the superheroes show up. And it even says directly following the ominous events of Superman #1, This is when this takes place, and they're not too happy when the superheroes show up and are all bright and shiny and whatever. So that's kind of the tone of this book. But anyway, go ahead.
And one of the controversial points that always comes up when you talk about Stormwatch is the inclusion of Midnight and Apollo, who are very open gay characters.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul Cornell made a point of saying, if you're going to let me use these characters, they're going to stay gay.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? They are.
Mm-hmm.
And again, DC, all-inclusive, diversity. This is not their only gay characters either. When we talk about some more of these titles later on, there are some other ones out there. But these mm-hmm. guys, they are ass-kickers to the nth degree. Midnighter is on Superman level. Apollo is Batman level.
I think you got that backwards.
You're right. You're right. I'm sorry. Apollo is the Superman character. Midnighter is the blah, blah, blah.
I've never.
Maybe, your medicine's getting to me here.
Yeah, I've never really read these, but I know about the characters, and I've seen some stuff. I've never really read any of the Stormwatch stuff.
It's great. Great.
I plan on trying to get some trades and picking up on it, because I like to know the background of these characters more.
Well, they're cheap. I mean, I would not be surprised if you couldn't get some of the trades for $3 or $4 off of Amazon or eBay.
Yeah.
In any case, it's not for the kids. Let me just really emphasize. At least the initial stuff.
Yeah,
I don't see
this one being for kids. I'm not really sure, but go ahead. Yeah.
No, I would be surprised. This is.
Yeah.
This
well, is my thing is I'm not. I'm just not sure that they're going to do it like they did before in Wildstorm. But I could be wrong. But go ahead.
No. I hope they do. I hope. I hope Cornell takes that and runs with it.
Mm-hmm.
This has a lot of potential to be a top seller. I think initially it's going to be a high seller. Again, team books tend to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that this does have a lot of potential, and it's also going to use a character from the Justice League, Martian Manhunter, who has a fan following. He's definitely a
I'm a big fan of him.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Oh, just to entice you a little bit, in the second issue, they fight the moon. I mean, how crazy is that? So anyway,
well, there you go.
Yeah,
You want to see the moon get its ass kicked?
Yeah, exactly.
This is the book for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think, given the time that we're looking at, I'm going to have to say that the last book I'm going to be able to talk about tonight, because I'm going to have to bail and put my kids to bed here before wife kills me, and we only got through 1 week. Wow.
Yeah.
Is Swamp Thing. Number
yep.
one. This is written by Scott Snyder.
Mm-hmm.
I have no opinion one way or another. But the artist, Yannick Paquette, is always impressed. I couldn't name one thing off the top of my head that he's done, but I always, when I think of that, I think, God, yeah, that's good stuff. So
mm-hmm.
that sounds really wishy-washy. Not on my pull list. Never was a Swamp Thing fan.
Me either.
But I had a buddy who wrote it for a while. I should have been buying it. And I feel bad. Sorry, Josh, if you listen to this. Apologies. It's Swamp Thing, not the guy from the movies. It's a guy who a scientist who gets bonded with the planet Earth, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Becomes an avatar, for lack of a better word, for all things green.
Mm-hmm.
This has a potential.
One of the things that makes this kind of big is the Swamp Thing character has been in the Vertigo mature comics for quite a while, and DC hasn't been allowed to play with the character, and they recently brought him back into the DC universe. So a lot of people are big on this. As Caleb was saying about Scott Snyder, I particularly like his work a lot. Not necessarily his work on – he's got a Vertigo book called American Vampire, I believe it's called. I'm not a big vampire fan, but he has been writing Detective Comics for quite a while, and he's going to be writing Batman, and I really love his stuff. I've talked to him – even talked to him on Twitter a little bit right after all this announcements came out, and he seems like a really cool guy, and I know he's very – this is one of his favorite characters, and he's very passionate about it. Like I said, I'm getting the first issue, so I'll have to see what it's like. And like Caleb, I've never been a really big Swamp Thing fan, and to tell you the truth, it's just, I don't know. I don't really see myself getting into that too much. But, you know, if you love Swamp Thing, you read it in the past, from what he has heard he has planned, you should be really excited about it.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, for those who were, you know, ever saw the Watchmen movie, mm-hmm. the guy who created those characters, Alan Moore, is mm-hmm. the one who made actually Swamp Thing a big name, more interesting character. And I've read those, and they have appeal. But for some reason, the character never grabbed me. But we'll see. I mean, and again, mm-hmm. An adult, it's probably going to be more adult trending than some of your other superhero stuff. So
yeah, this
keep
is
that in mind.
This is one of their horror books too. So in the dark line, as they call it.
Is it in the dark or is it part of the edge? You're right, it's part of the dark.
Yeah.
Animal Man was part of the dark as well. Mm-hmm. So when we were talking about that before.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, more horror oriented. You're absolutely right. So keep that in mind, kids. Heads exploding. Probably not so much.
Yeah,
but,
no. Just my initial gut reaction on that. So yeah.
We talked about a lot of books here. Some of them I haven't necessarily changed my opinion on, mm-hmm. but I'm going to be keeping an eye. As I'm looking through these again, I'm going to be keeping an eye on a couple that I might not necessarily have mm-hmm. given a second glance to. And I haven't changed my opinion on the ones that I was already going to be looking at.
Right.
But hopefully we've given – I hope that we've given some people out there some food for thought for potentially looking at some of these books.
Yep.
Or I hope we haven't discouraged anyone from looking in at these.
Yeah,
books
it's like you said. This is some of the stuff we said about some of these. This is our opinion, and might be something you're interested in. This is a whole new deal. Starting from scratch in a lot of ways. Some of it's going to be the same, and none of us really know until we read it. So we're just giving us our initial gut reactions from what we know from the past. So.
And real quick, you said something that I meant to hit on a moment ago, which is that you said Scott Snyder is a huge Swamp Thing fan, and I think if we look at all these titles and the ones going that we're going to cover mm-hmm. over the next week or so, the people working on them love the books that they're working on. They love
Absolutely.
The characters. It's not like they took a gig on something. They go, oh, well, I think I could write that. Mm-hmm. They actually said, that is somebody I love. I want to write about that. So.
Absolutely, yeah. And I can attest for that. Just listening to them on the DC Comics podcast and listening to them talking about the books, I still got a handful of podcasts to go, but they're all so excited about it. They sound like little kids at Christmas. So it should be, it might not be your cup of tea, but I think it's pretty safe to say that any book you pick up to, the people that are working on it are absolutely putting 110% effort on it. And they're really wanting to, to get things back, to impress people and get them reading their books. So they're just not just flipping burgers here. They're really putting their heart and soul into it. So
yeah, and if they, I'm telling you, if they include digital sales,
mm-hmm.
I don't expect that DC is going to finish number two for this year.
I don't think so either.
And I know where the year's already half over, but
mm-hmm.
I think this could really push their numbers to for the year being number one if they include the digital sales as part of their sales totals. Yeah. Anyhow, I have got to bail. I'm getting the stink eye here. So,
all right, we'll catch you later. And that's it for this episode. Next week we'll talk about the next bunch, as many as we can. Some of those being Batman related and Green Lantern. So,
what else is there? There's some Batmans. There's another, we're going to come up on a Legion book here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man. One that we should have talked about tonight, but we'll cover next week. Bummer. Oh well, next week. But like Chris said, we got everything. That's the nice thing about week to week here is you got a huge mix.
That's right. Okay.
All right, well, Chris, anything else?
Oh, that should do it.
Okay, well, cool.
All right, and I'll try to have more info about the midnight sale and our local shop and try to talk about stuff going on there a little bit. And that's about it.
Okay, well, stay safe with that storm warning.
All right, we will. So far, so good. Lights are still on.
Okay. You can hear my kids screaming in the background.
All right.
Okay, Chris, I'm going to bail. I'll talk with you later in the week.
All right. Talk to you later.